Greetings this morning in Jesus' name. Again, I want to start out this morning as well saying thank you for your support and want to bless each one of you for what you contribute to the church here and just say thank you. Brian, I want to say thank you to you as well for doing that with the Gideons. It is always good to have them here and to hear how God's word impacts where it goes out, and it was good to hear from them again this year. And according to two statistics, truly, scriptures need to be spread, handed out, given out, witnesses, and we'll get into that. I have some statistics that I'll get to those later on in my sermon, so you're not going to get those yet. But it does show the slide of where we are, America, the churches in America are today. The sermon this morning started out with, actually I was not planning on this being a sermon. Actually, it kind of, the words didn't aggravate me, but where it came from aggravated me. As I was on Facebook one evening and this pops up and it said, I forget exactly how it said it, but it was something to the fact that those that say, Lord, Lord, not everyone will make it into heaven. And the person that, where it popped up as was fear-mongering. So they used this to scare people, and then it's like, okay, well, we have this printout that shows you exactly what it takes and all this. And so if you buy this book, well, then that way for sure you know that if you're going to make it to heaven or not. And people, we have the book right here. We don't need another book. And that's what frustrated me a little bit with it. It's like, you know, I looked at it, and for a second, I was like, I wonder what for book it is. And I was like, no, I don't even need to look at it. It's like, but as that's been a couple weeks ago, and this kind of keeps on my mind. And this week, as I was wondering, asking God what I should share about, it's like, those words just kept coming back to my mind. So I turned to those, and if you're familiar with that, those words are found in Matthew chapter 7. It's in the Sermon on the Mount, right towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And if you would go to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, there where they are at, there are four warnings that Jesus gives out at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. I was going to talk just about the four warnings, and I look at that, and I'm like, it just doesn't feel right without reading the Sermon on the Mount to jump in at the end and say, well, here's the warnings, but he's given us all this information right ahead of it. So there's going to be a fair amount of reading this morning. I want to start at Matthew 5, and we're going to read the Sermon on the Mount, which is 5, 6, and 7, and then we will talk about the four warnings at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And in my Bible, I don't know how your Bible is. In my Bible, it's broke up into different sections, so I will probably mention the section that it's divided into. So we'll start with Matthew 5, verse 1. It says, seeing the crowds, he went up in the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The next section is salt and light. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if salt hath lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all that is in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The next one is, Christ came to fulfill the law. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota or a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes on one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The next one talks on anger. It says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. Whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says you fool will be liable to hellfire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. The next section is lust. You have heard that it is said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell. The next section is divorce. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. The next one is oath. Again, you have heard that it was said of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one of your hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes of evil. The next one is retaliation. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse from the one who would borrow from you. Next one is love your enemies. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that ye may be sons of the Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Ye therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Chapter 6, the next one is giving to the needy. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The next one is the Lord's Prayer. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go in your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The next one is fasting. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you have fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The next one is laying up treasures in heaven. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And then the light in you is darkness. How great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Do not be anxious. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Chapter 7, first one is judging others. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give to dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Ask and it will be given. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to him who asks him? The Golden Rule. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy, that leads to destruction. And those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. A tree and its fruit. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. I never knew you. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Build your house on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on a rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a... And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house and fell, and great was the fall of it. we'll stop there. As we read that, it gives us a lot of instruction, a lot of how to live our lives. If you look at chapter 7, verse 12 to 14, that is where the first one of the four warnings that Jesus gave was. And it's the warning of either the narrow gate or the wide gate. We must choose between two roads. I have said it before. Some of you have read it. There's the book Pilgrim's Progress, and especially for the children, they describe this and they talk a lot about the narrow gate and the wide gate, the two paths. It's easy to find the wide gate and to take the wide path. But we must choose between these two ways. John 14, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Also in Luke 13, Jesus made it clear that all must repent and believe to be saved, to enter the narrow road, the gate. Paul also said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Peter said in Acts 4, "There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men that one can be saved." Those choosing to seek approval of man rather than God will find this way only leads to destruction. It is only through repentance and faith in Jesus that one can enter the narrow gate. There will be many on the wide path. It's easy, feels better, but the end is destruction. Jesus said, "Beware of the easy path." The next warning comes in verse 15 to 20. And it talks about the two kinds of prophets. And the first word of verse 15, Jesus said, "Beware." When I see that word, my mind just goes to dogs. And I'm not overly scared of dogs, but I do have a healthy respect for them. If I go somewhere and I see a dog, I'm not going to necessarily turn and run, but I'm going to keep my eye on them, because if you don't know that dog, you're not quite sure what they're going to do, and so I'm not going to turn my back on them. I have a high sense of awareness where they are and what they are doing. Jesus told us to beware of the prophets, the false prophets. If you look up that word prophet, it's foretellers or inspired speakers, teachers. We should have a high awareness. Who are they? What do they stand for? But he didn't leave us in the dark. Jesus gave us a way to know. He said, "Every tree will produce fruit." Every one of us will produce some type of fruit. He says, "By that fruit, we will know." Either it'll be good, or either it'll be bad. Jesus said, "We can identify them by this fruit." We've heard it before. At least I have. I'm sure you all have heard the same thing. If you're trying to figure out if something is counterfeit, that the best way to know counterfeit is to know the real deal. If you're trying to figure out if it's counterfeit money, you know the real money, because counterfeit continues to change. They keep trying to make changes to it to make it more accurate, more like the real deal. But if you know what the real looks like, you don't have to know all the individual changes of the counterfeit. We need to know what the counterfeit looks like. How do we do that? We must know what the real looks like. Spend time in God's Word in prayer, driving our roots deep. We need a strong root system, not only to produce fruit, but to stand against the storms. Paul in Acts 13 was confronted with one of these such people as he came into Cyprus. I'm trying to think, and there was another name where he was coming into. But as he came in there, him and Barnabas, it was in Acts 13, as they came into this town, there was someone there that was using his powers for personal gain. And they tried to stop Paul and Barnabas. And Paul, by the Holy Spirit, knew this and called blindness on this man. And many people believed in the Lord. Now, I'm not saying we're supposed to go call blindness on people. But the way that Paul understood this person or knew it, he was in touch with the Spirit. And we also need to be in touch with the Spirit. Reading God's Word, spending time in prayer, listening to the Spirit, not just once in a while when it's convenient, but like our life depends on it, because it does. And one might say, well, they had a lot of that back in their day. We don't have so much of that today. But there are little subtle things that we have today that will try to force their way in. You can look at movies, Facebook, Instagram, you name it, that can justify anger, sensuality, retaliation, building up treasure here on earth. If one spends a lot of time, or most of their time, watching and taking in these things, soon we become used to them and they don't seem dangerous. These are bad fruits that Jesus talked about. Yet we come accustomed to it. I almost start to question whether they're so bad. Another one this week, the contemporary music, the whole music industry, and how they, what they stand for, and is it to build up for Christ, or is it for financial gain? What is it used for? What does it impact? How does it impact the life? Again, I'm not saying you shouldn't listen to contemporary music, but we must be careful. We must be aware. Little by little, we become accustomed to these things. And will we be able to catch the counterfeit? Jesus said, beware. The next one was two kinds of disciples. This is where they said, Lord, Lord, and he said, I never knew you. What does it mean? Who are those people? Jesus answered that question in verse 23. In verse 23, he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. They didn't have a personal relationship. They believed they could get there by works on their own terms. Today, as I was studying, there was a survey taken, and we hope this survey only stands true for Arizona, because the survey came from Arizona. And so I don't know, I couldn't find anything directly in South Carolina. However, I'm guessing it may not be exactly the same, but it's probably not so far off. But here are some of the statistics on this very thing. One out of three people, only one-third, 35% of Americans, continue to embrace the traditional biblical view that salvation comes through Jesus Christ. In the most recent findings of this search, shows that the views of sin and salvation have permeated American culture so deeply that even a majority of people who describe themselves as Christians, 52% of them, accept a works-oriented means to God's acceptance. Goes on to say, what is even more shocking is that huge proportions of people who attend churches whose official doctrine says eternal salvation comes only from embracing Jesus Christ as Savior, nonetheless believe that a person can qualify for heaven by being or doing good. That includes close to half of all adults associated with Pentecostal, 46%, Protestant, 44%, Evangelical, 41%, and a much larger share of Catholics, 70%, embrace this point of view. In addition, the relevance of sin is on the wane, with only slight more than half of U.S. adults, 56%, saying they consciously and consistently attempt to avoid sinning because they know it offends God. According to Dr. Barna, who was the one writing this report, said, if you step back and look at the big picture painted by all of the outcomes and research project, it seems to suggest that people are in an anything-goes mindset when it comes to faith, morals, values, and lifestyle. They went on to share that only 49% of Americans believe they have a personal responsibility to share their religious beliefs. Only half of the Americans, 54%, just slightly over half, believe they will experience heaven after they die. 15% said they do not know what will happen after they die. 13% said there is no life after death. 8% expect to be reincarnated. Another 8% believe they will go to a place of purification prior to entering heaven. And just 2% believe they will go to hell. As we look at those statistics, we read that verse, and Jesus said, I never knew you. And we're like, well, then it's hard to believe that there's that many people that don't believe that you have to be born again, that you have to accept Jesus. These words that we read today are the words of Jesus. If we don't believe his words, how can we believe him? How sad to stop and think, according to the statistics, that nearly 50% of the people that you meet will hear these words, I never knew you. It's a sobering thought. We as Christians need to let this settle in our minds and our hearts, not to scare us, but to put an urgency. I put to unglue our mouth and share the greatest, most valuable treasure and the truth that one can have. In Matthew 10, 33 and 34, Jesus was talking about how God knows everything. Scott talked this morning about how God knows every hair on our head, no matter if we have a lot or a little. And then God was talking about the sparrow, or Jesus was talking about the sparrow here, and God knows each thing about the sparrow. And then he says, So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father who is in heaven. It is only Jesus' blood and forgiveness that we can make heaven. But this faith will bring action and will bring forth good fruit. It is for those that Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And then the last warning that Jesus said was in the verse 24 to the end of our reading, the two kinds of foundations. He talks about building on the sand. If you, in this area, the sand would create like a hard crust. We think of the sand by the beach sometimes anyhow, and it's always soft. You walk in it, it's just, you can hardly walk in it. This sand here would get hard. It would get a hard crust. It would feel pretty good. But as the storms came, this sand would soften and it would become weak. The builders here knew that they must dig down to get to a rock base, or when the storms came, it'd be catastrophic. In Luke 6, verse 46 and 47, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show what he is like. I remember one builder used to say, the house is only as good as the foundation. It's the same way in our spiritual life. We must have a firm foundation. What are we building that on? It must be built on Jesus. We must take all measures that our foundation is secure. This is done through repentance, believing, and trusting. There was a story of an elm tree that I had read about, and this elm tree was a nice tree, had been there for a good number of years, but the storm came through and it just laid it over, and they were astonished at how easily it was able to be just taken over by the storm. And yet all of its root base was just sitting right on top. It didn't have a good root base. It went down, and when the storms become strong, it couldn't stand. We need a good root base, a good foundation that goes down, that is strong, that when storms come, that we will be able to stand. And that as we come to the end of our life, that we will be able to hear those great words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in the joy of my Lord. May we be faithful. May we be vigilant. Looking at the warnings, being careful, building a good foundation, that we would be stand and be faithful unto the end. Scott, do you have a song? All right, y'all can stand and all right, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for being so good to us. God, we thank you for your faithfulness. God, as we read your word and as we look into it and we give our lives to you, we know that you walk with us in the many things we go through, sometimes hard times, sometimes good times. God, we pray that you would help us to ever put our trust in you as we go through hard times, to tap into your goodness. And God, this morning, as we go through life, help us to be ever watching, ever guarding, and building a foundation on you. And God, help us to stand in the times of storms, that we would be able to look to you and stand faithful. So God, I pray that you would bless each one here today, and as we go from here, as we go into the world around us, help us to, we ask for the opportunities that you would bring into our path to share your goodness and your love to others, and help us to take those opportunities and share with others. God, I pray that you would just bless each one today. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Your food.